soon as you talk about manufactured goods or services, you're talking about a changed world where you're coming into very fierce competition for them. For example, if you think of the United Kingdom, we've already known for some years that we'd lose our high labour content, low-skill jobs. They were going to the developing countries who can, you know, process metal and weave cloth cheaper than we can. But we always assumed we'd keep the high-tech jobs, the professional jobs, the creative jobs, and that's a terrible arrogance.
Well, China and India are striving for those high education, high-tech jobs. Will they overtake the Western world unless we change what we do?
Exactly. If you think of a country like China, it's been, in many ways, the world leader for 18 of the last 20 centuries in technology and in culture. Why should a country like China be satisfied with being a supplier of low-grade labour, cheap labour? It doesn't make any sense at all for them. And if you look at what they're investing in skills, what they're investing in their own indigenous design capability, high-tech industries, it's very impressive, and India too. So I think it's a case of saying, right, well, we're not going to keep those as a right, those kind of high-skilled jobs. You're not going to compete on cost. So you've got to say, unless we use our creative talents to the full and make sure those creative skills seep through into our products and services, it's a tough future. And indeed for the UK, I've made the point that if we don't do that and make better use of these skills routinely, we end up a theme park. You know, we'll show people around the palace and the castles and rejoice in the history, and that's it.
What competitive advantages do developed countries in the West have over the developing nations that they're competing against in these services and skills-driven technology industries?
Well, one advantage they have, but it will disappear, is that for some time they've been serving consumer markets. They've had to satisfy customers. That hasn't been the case in countries like China, in a command economy. And it takes time for people to understand that, for designers and manufacturers to realize the demands of a market. Now, that'll change. But we have a window in which we have to get our act together.
And how can governments assist in this process? What role do governments have to play in promoting creative industries and enhancing the competitive advantages that Western economies currently enjoy?
Well, there are a number of things that a government can influence without intervening directly. You've also got the case that if you think of governments, they're big purchasers in their own right. You know, 35-40% of GDP is spent by government. Now, if government were a better purchaser for the public sector of good design skills and good solutions to problems, that would make an impact itself, because that would draw through suppliers who were imaginative and produced outstanding products and thinking. If you think of the issues that governments face, in Australia, same as in Europe, same as in North America, health, transportation, crime, all those things. Now, you can't solve the problems of society by throwing resource at it. It's not there. You know, the answer isn't just more and more nurses, more police. You've got to think of imaginative solutions to how do you keep a population healthy, how do you keep a city flowing, etc. And the solutions are out there.
Now, Australia's been a large exporter of education for quite a while and is actually in decline in that service area. But do you think there's a danger that we've exported too many of our skills to China, India and other developing countries that are now using that skills base to develop their own tertiary education institutions and bypass what has been a major industry for Australia?
Well, that's the same in the UK, where we educate a tremendous amount of students from these countries. And that's a source of pride, and I'm very keen that that's the case. But don't assume that that's always going to be the case. They're building up their own very fine universities, and we're going to see an awful lot of cooperation. But what we'll see with education anyway, it'll go global. You know, the idea that you just go to a university for a business degree or a medical degree or a law degree could well change in a global world. And indeed, I'm pro-chancellor of Warwick University, and we are have a relationship with Monash, you can see what UTS is doing here. You're going to get a lot of international links, and I think being very strong in education and building on the universities is going to be a great strength. No, that's not something you've foregone. There are very high-quality universities in Australia, and I think one can capitalise on that.
I mean, given the troubles financially in the Western world, a lot of people have fears that the Western world will be overtaken by these developing powerhouses. Do you think that's a legitimate fear? Is that something people should be concerned about?
Well, I think when you talk about overtaking, what we're already seeing is their economies are growing much faster. That's been a tremendously dramatic change in the last few years, and that'll go on. But that means two things. It means, firstly, competition from them in terms of their goods, their services that they will supply, but they're also markets in their own right. For example, if you look at the United Kingdom at present, very tough economy. One of the great successes is Jaguar Cars, It's booming. It's actually building a new factory in the United Kingdom. It's actually owned by an Indian company now, which takes a good long-term view. That's worked out well. But equally, tremendous sales of cars to the developing countries, to India and China and Asia. So there are markets there as well, but you're not going to access these markets with poor goods. You're going to be in real competition for them.
What's your view on how labour market regulation or deregulation can play into productivity enhancements for developed countries?
This is a big debate everywhere, because you see the emerging competition is much less regulated. And to what extent do we relax your own regulations to compete? Or do you say, no, we've actually got to a much more advanced society and it's for them to catch up with us? The important thing about regulation is that it's proportionate, that it protects the workforce, protects jobs, but doesn't actually work against that, where regulation is so heavy that people won't recruit or people will move a business elsewhere, because that works against the labour force. So it's getting a balance. But this will be a continuing debate. But we certainly don't want to say, well, because these countries have the advantage, in inverted commas, of lack of regulation, we have to go back to there. You're just giving up advances we've made if you do that.